Just a little warning, this podcast has some swearing in it.
Welcome to Phonin' with Honan. Welcome to the party. Hello, listeners. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm going to be phoning my friend Lizzie. And Lizzie's just so lovely. If you know her, you're so lucky. She's a wonderful woman and she makes things. She's an artist and she makes so much cool stuff. She's an illustrator and drawer. She draws, but she does loads of other cool stuff. And she's now doing textiles. She's like embroidering things. We're going to ask her all about it. And she was making hot air balloons before in a previous life. Just amazing. And just a trigger warning to any listeners, we talk a bit about Lizzie's mum, who's earlier this year diagnosed with cancer. But we do talk about her brilliant treatment and her brilliant recovery. So it's all good news, but just a little warning, as Chris says. Okay, let's give her a ring.
Welcome to 1572. The person you've called has chosen not to receive certain calls.
Okay, so we can't call her landline. Let me just figure this out. Okay, we're going to call Lizzie's mobile now. Here we go.
Buongiorno.
Hello, buongiorno.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
Very good, my friend Nuala Honan.
Oh, I'm good because I'm calling you. Oh, so nice to call people on the phone. What a relief.
It is nice. I find it very important for me right now.
Yeah, I think I'm glad I have the excuse to do it with the podcast because I think sometimes I get a bit... I'm scared. Is that weird to get scared about phones?
Yeah, I guess so. It's similar to like social anxiety.
Yes. I think this is why I've made the podcast 15 minutes long because I get worried that like, what if I don't have time and it's going to be an hour and there's so much pressure to catch up. But, so I've invented a thing where I have to do short phone calls. Oh my god.
Very, very special time saving.
Yeah.
15 minutes and you're up.
Yeah.
And then you're gone.
Great. But also then I usually end up calling my friends back after the podcast just to talk longer because I miss them. So it's my way in. Hey, can you tell us where you are? Where are you? What's happening?
I am sitting in the living room of my mum's house, which is also now my studio and messy space, which is fun.
Nice.
So I live with my mum in a place called Southbourne, which is 5 minutes walk from the beach near Chichester.
I saw a video. You took some outdoor videos for our friends on WhatsApp the other day. It looks really beautiful.
Yeah, it's really good. I completely forgot how beautiful it was. I think as a child, I was perhaps... Well, I just took it for granted because it was my doorstep. So just like, oh yeah, there's another thatched house, whatevs. That's just what's down the road.
I felt like that after I moved to England for a couple of years, when I first went back to Australia to where I grew up, I thought it was so boring when I was growing up. There's nothing here. But like going back and being like, wow, there's nothing here.
Isn't it glorious?
Yeah. It's so vast and flat and you can just see the sky forever. Yeah, it's nice. Oh, that's interesting. So we start the podcast with something new and good. Have you got one?
Yeah, I've got some really good.
Oh, what's your really good?
Nice good. Well, in the past 3 days, there's been some pretty major progress with my mum, which is so exciting. So
give us a bit of background. We're talking about the big C. We're going to talk about the big C for anyone who needs a warning. I will give people a warning at the start of the podcast.
Sure. Okay, so the quick background is in January, I had a phone call with my mum on a Thursday evening. I was concerned. I could hear in her tone of voice, I was like, something's up. This is different. This is a different phone call to normal. So I basically took the day off work the next day and got on a train and took her to the doctor. And she was in surgery within 24 hours.
Wow.
And had emergency surgery to have a very big tumour removed from her bowel.
Wow.
So I kind of, gut instinct saved her life, which was a very
amazing.
Nice,
that's amazing. You saved your mum's life. Well done, Lizzie. Well done. Yeah. You just got on the train and you went down there.
Yeah.
You're amazing.
It was really like the train journey. I remember I was like looking out the window and I just had this really big feeling. I was like, when you get off this train, you're going to probably have to deal with some life-changing stuff. So whilst you're on the train, just try and relax and read your book because it's probably going to be quite hard.
What amazing instincts to kick in a crisis.
Yeah, I mean, I think I used to work looking after disabled children, so there were like certain warning signs that I'd always been aware of, and it definitely was that made me kind of go, oh, hang on, this is something different to, we don't just ignore this, this is something that I was a support worker, we would look into this. So I kind of had heads up.
So what's the what's the good news this week?
Well, so the good news is that my mum has now been on 2 walks all by herself.
Whoa.
And one of them, she didn't even tell me because I'd gone out for my walk and I got back and she was just like, yeah, whilst you're out, I just like went for a walk by myself. And I was like,
yes, mum.
So proud of you. Really good. And we've really turned a corner with her strength. Like, I can't remember if it was yesterday or the day before, she mowed the lawn, but like there's sort of a top part of a garden and a bottom part of the garden. She did both, and then we went for the longest walk that we've managed to do together, and we actually went off road down footpath so that I could get her to fields and see greenery and hear the birds singing.
Wow.
And she must have walked for like, I didn't time it, but it felt like last, like maybe 40 minutes.
Wow. So all of this stuff happened like just before we even knew that we were going to get coronavirus in the UK.
Yeah.
And like, you not only did you like jump on the train and like the day after, you also just decided to move there anyway before isolation. You just decided to pack up and leave your house and leave your job. And and another wild fact that I can't believe happened in those weeks is that you broke up with your long-term partner like just before you just like packed up your whole life and moved down to your mum. And then it felt like days later, it was like, oh, and also there's a pandemic, so nobody go anywhere. Just like, what? How many curveballs does Lizzie need?
It was quite full on, I must admit. Just to clarify, I didn't split up with the partner because of my mum. We split up exactly a week before her surgery. It was a very full-on time. Deanna actually said to me, she was like, did you manifest the pandemic so that nobody could have any fun whilst you're away? I was like,
oh yeah, because you're a classic FOMO, aren't you? You need to be at the party. So you were like, if I'm moving into my mum's house,
then nobody else can have any fun whilst I'm away.
That does sound like you, Lizzie. It does sound
like better now. So if we could all have fun now, I'm ready for fun now.
Yeah. So you moved home to look after your mum, which I just think is amazing, because being grown ups with your parents is really hard. And you just mentioned at the start that you're sat in the living room and that you've turned it into a studio. So you, because you also, as part of having to move, you had to quit your job. So you've like thrown yourself into, I mean, you're throwing yourself into some projects, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
What's your studio?
I think when I made the decision to move here, it took me two weeks probably to make the decision. It was a process of discussing it with my family members and trying to figure out if it was the best thing, but it instinctively definitely felt like the best thing, because I was aware that my mum was gonna A, have to recover from surgery, and B, have further treatment. And because my dad died 4 years ago, I just felt I wouldn't have her do that on her own.
Yeah.
Because it's just too lonely. It's too horrible to go through anyway and not just sort of stuck on your own. So it was definitely just kind of in every pore of my body felt like exactly what I needed to do. And actually I had to argue with a lot of people, had to argue with work. They weren't willing for me to just sort of pause my contract. And had to argue with friends and some of my siblings sometimes, because they're just, you know, rightfully protective of me. But, you know, I just finished reading this book actually called The Secret Life of Bees. And there's a great woman in that who talks about sometimes the hardest thing is to choose the right thing to do, especially in terms of love. Like sometimes you might know what the right thing to do is, but it's quite hard to make that choice.
Yeah.
But actually in this instant, it felt hard. It was a difficult decision to make, but I just knew I had to do it. It wasn't there wasn't any part of me that thought, no, I'm not doing that. I just, the hard bit was persuading everybody.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't talk during that decision process, but when you told me you were moving, I had an protective instinct of like, is that the right thing to do? Like, so I can totally imagine you having those conversations with people.
Mm.
How interesting that I'm just, my brain is like ruminating around that thing of like choosing the right thing to do. You've had to do a lot of that within the space of a few weeks, like choosing about relationships, choosing, you know, looking after your mum and choosing your work and choosing your, like, that's huge, mate. What, like, good choices. But how did you do that?
Thank you.
Really good choices. And has it been the right choice now that you've been at home for well over a month? Has it been the right choice?
Oh, definitely. There's definitely been low points, but I mean, I'm sure a lot of people can recognize that there's something about being with family members that brings out the worst part of your inner child.
Yeah.
And you can feel like, I hate the way you breathe. Why are you breathing like that? Stop it. In a way that nobody else can irritate you.
Yeah. My brother's just moved it back home with my parents as well a couple of weeks ago, and he's having exactly the same thing. All of them are. Yeah. Oh man. Loads of people probably moving in with their parents. How strange.
But the actual thing I signed up for changed so much, which is actually what caused more of the blips than anything else, because when I sort of talked about this with my family members, we had a whole kind of plan set up, whereas I would have weekends off so I could either come to Bristol and sing, or I could get a weekend job, and also plan for me to have at least a week off a month. And we had kind of important things booked in the diary where I was like, I really want to go to Fire in the Mountain Festival. I'm going to sing there, and just, you know, had these things in place. And so it was like, okay, you're going to do this really hard thing, but you've got a whole team of support and you're going to have respite so you can pop out and still swear and say tits and drink and do whatever you want. And then it was like, oh, hang on, as soon as I've unpacked, I was like, actually, I can't go back to Bristol for like tea with friends or a roast dinner because I might catch the stupid virus and kill my mum.
So what like, what are you doing within your small world in the house with your mum to find respite or to stay connected with your, I don't know, what have you got stuff that you've had to pick up and go, right, this is how I survive?
Yeah, I've got sort of two projects. So three projects, I suppose. I bought a sewing machine. I set myself up making cushions. And
can you tell the listeners what you're embroidering on the cushions?
I am embroidering the words "stupid fucking feelings."
Yeah. We all need one of those.
Because sometimes feelings are fucking stupid.
So stupid. They really get in the way of feeling things.
Yeah, I mean, I find it very, very therapeutic. And it is actually, I mean, a dear friend of mine, Becca, has explained that, I mean, it's something that we kind of coined together. And what she described it as is like a method. And it's not always appropriate, for sure, but often there are times in your life where when you're experiencing stupid fucking feelings, it can be very helpful to sing this song. And it goes, stupid fucking feelings, stupid fucking feelings, stupid fucking feelings, stupid fucking feelings. And if you sing that over and over again until you feel a bit like you can laugh at yourself, then it can be very, very helpful in certain periods of your life.
We're all going to have this. This is for everyone listening in the pandemic. This is like, we can have this song now from you and Becca. I would really, if I were a better podcaster and musician, I would probably remix that.
Stupid fucking feeling, 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 stupid fucking feeling.
Have you got a silver lining for the podcast? Let's hear a silver lining.
Silver linings.
A silver lining. Well, I guess for me, a very personal silver lining is that me and my mum are really close again and getting on really, really well.
Wow.
Which, you know, wasn't always the case. It's not that we've ever fallen out, but we have had a strained relationship over the years. Whereas now she's teaching me how to grow vegetables and gardening is her passion. And because of the lockdown, I've learned how to just slow down and appreciate things with her. Like, I genuinely get excited every day going out into the greenhouse to look at the seedlings and how they're doing and be like, oh, look at those French beans, they're so big and they pop up so quickly, and you're like, whoa, you were nothing yesterday and now you're like this weird beast that's grown really tall and like three times as big as the borage or the basil. So you're just like, wow, and taking genuine excitement in those, seeing those things and being involved with that, and that being something that I'm learning with my mum, which is, you know, having moved out of home when I was 18, I wouldn't have had time for those things on a visit. You know, on a visit, you'd be like, yeah, yeah, let's have a meal and maybe a drink. But it's not, it's just not that like daily thing like, oh, okay, let's look at how these saplings are growing.
Yeah. Wow. That's really beautiful. I'm really happy for you guys. And I'm really happy for your, for all of you, but, you know, mostly for your mum, that she hasn't had to have chemo and that she's getting her strength back and getting outside and seeing the sky. That's so, what a great week for you guys.
Really cool, yeah. Oh, yeah, because I didn't say that, did I? She doesn't have to have chemo, which is so nice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I remember you told me that a few weeks ago. It's amazing. Have you got a song to suggest? Because we've got a playlist with all sorts of lovely, yummy stuff on it, like Alabaster de Plume and Rosie Plain. And
yeah, I don't know if it will be able to go on there because I don't know if there will be an online version of it, but I have been humming Jamie Harrison's We've Got Love a lot today because it's a really beautiful song, and it makes me feel very snuggly. It makes it just very reminiscent of many times being in a sort of snuggly warm place with lots of friends and everybody singing along.
That's beautiful. I will ask Jamie if he can, because I don't think any of his stuff is
on the internet.
Yeah, it might be some stuff on Bandcamp. I'll ask him if we can put it on SoundCloud or something, or I'll ask him for it. I also did a recording of that song myself with a band, so if he says no, I'll just put my cover up online. I love that song. I love Jamie Harrison.
I really love it. Anna, can I have another one? Am I allowed another one?
Go for it.
Could I have Doobie Dolcheck? What is it? Is it Major Lazer?
Lazer Dojo.
Yeah, that one. Because it's a great, that's really similar, that feeling of like a group of snoozy people singing along. Mm. In like that feeling of lots of people all joining in together.
Lovely. Okay. Thanks, Lizzie. Oh, good songs. Good. Brave living.
thanks.
Really good brave living. And when you put your cushions up on Etsy or wherever they go, send me a link and I'll share it with listeners so that they can get their stupid fucking feelings in their life or out of their life into their cushions or something.
Great, thank you. I mean, I think you can't get the stupid fucking feelings out of your life. They just have to happen, but you can laugh at them.
And sing the song.
Yeah.
Stupid fucking feelings, stupid fucking feelings.
Stupid fucking feelings, stupid fucking feelings. Stupid fucking feelings, stupid fucking feelings. Stupid fucking feelings, stupid fucking feelings. Stupid fucking feelings, stupid fucking feelings.
Oh, thanks, Lizzie. Hey, I'm going to stop recording and then I'll give you a call back. Because I realise after these podcasts, because I'm being bossy about the talking, I ask all the questions, and so I can tell you all about my horrible week of PMS that I've just got over. That's all. That's all my news, and that my cat has ulcers in her eyes, so we've been putting drops in her face. So I'll tell you about
it. No, a little cat face.
I know. It's been very sad. Thanks for your time and letting me record our time together, and I'll speak to you just in a minute. Okay.
Great. Okay. I love you.
Love you, Lizzie. Bye. My friend Lizzie is a magical ball of light and you cannot hold her down. I loved listening back to that. And you're just amazing. Thanks, Lizzie. And thank you for inspiring my first ever remix, my first ever on the spot podcast jingle. That was really fun. The cushions in question are not yet for sale, I believe, but I will let you know when they are. If you follow me on social networking, you can either follow me, Noor the Honan, or the Phonen with Honan. We have Instagram and Twitter and Facebook. I hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you did, please hit subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on and share it with your friends for more small pockets of joy. I have enjoyed keeping you company as we continue to navigate our way through this crisis and this new current lifestyle. I'd love to hear from you, so get in touch. I have just this week had a couple of fan mails. Thank you. I'm gonna say thank yous to them. Thank you to Steve, who emailed me. Thanks for listening. And thank you to Phoebe for sending me a message on Instagram. Thanks for listening. You can find loads more episodes of Phoning with Honan either on this platform you're listening to or over on my website, nullahonan.com/podcast, where you also find links to the playlist that all of our guests are contributing to, which is on Spotify, and any extra information that the guests mention that I think is interesting you might want to follow up on. So that's all for today. Hang in there. We're starting to step out into the world a bit more here in the UK this week. I am tentatively going back to some of my work with social distancing. So please carry on being kind to yourself and being kind to others as we're all going to approach this slightly differently. We're all going to have different needs and people are going to want to do things more strict or less strict than you. So please, please be kind. And take care of yourself and your loved ones. And I love you. Bye.